The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, text number 9, given by His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami on June 27th, 1996, in Dublin, Ireland.
Esham satata yuktanam,
esham satata yuktanam,
bhajatam prittipurvakam,
bhajatam prittipurvakam,
tadami buri yogam tam,
tadami buri yogam tam,
yena mam upayanti te,
yena mam upayanti te.
Translation: to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. For the past few days, we've been speaking on these verses, which are considered the four nutshell verses of Bhagavad Gita. As you know, there's also Chatur Shloka, four key verses to the 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we're trying to understand why these are the quintessence Bhagavad Gita. One similarity between these four verses and the four verses in Srimad Bhagavatam is that Krishna directly speaks both of them. Krishna doesn't always speak in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sita Goswami speaks and others speak. But he's speaking, and of course he speaks in Bhagavad Gita. And what's he speaking about? In both these chatur shlokas, he's speaking about himself. And so that's certainly the essence that's getting down to what the Vedas are all about, and which is often hidden in the Vedas or spoken indirectly and in a personal way and so on. So if you're only going to say what really has to be said in a very few verses, then just drop everything else and talk about the nature of the Supreme Person and surrender to Him. And it's best that we hear it from the Supreme Person Himself. Of course, non-devotees, they'll not be eligible for this essence. But the Vedas are meant for gradually bringing them up to this standard. So, Krishna, that aham evasam evagri. The chatur shloka begins in Bhagavatam. Aham, I. I was there before creation. I am the maintainer now. I will be there after annihilation. And similarly, we noticed the use of the words I and me in the Bhagavad Gita. In the first of these verses, 10:8, aham starts with the same word, aham, savasya prabhavo, mattak, me, sarvam pavartate. Four times, Krishna used different words to me, to mean I or me. And then the next verse, that verse he says, I am the source of all material and spiritual world, and the wise who know this perform devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. And then the next verse, we read yesterday, he discusses the devotees who do this, who worship him. And they're his devotees, they're Krishna's devotees. So he uses the word me or I again four times. Much chitta. Mat gata prana. They give me their intelligence. They give me their life, prana. Mat chitta, mat gata prana. Bodhiyantak parasparam. Katiyantas chamam bhaktya. Tushan ticha, ram ticha. And so today, the subject is flowing into how these two, the Lord and the devotee, how they come together, how the Lord enlightens the devotee. And again, Krishna is unequivocally speaking about himself as the main actor in this verse, the main actor in giving enlightenment to the devotee. So there's three paragraphs. I'll read them one at a time and say something. In this verse, the word buddhi yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord, instructing Arjuna, said that he had spoken to him of many things and that he would instruct him in the way of buddhi yoga. Now, buddhi yoga is explained. Buddhi yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence, and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called buddhi yoga. In other words, buddhi yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this, therefore the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna, and when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is achieved. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunivari Pachacharya Sitarana. Buddhi Yoga is explained because that this word is used in the verse. So there are many kinds of yoga, but Krishna says here that I give the Buddhi Yoga, the special spiritual and mystical intelligence by which one can understand me. One can understand Krishna by other names. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam yetam utamam. Krishna says in the fourth chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, I'm telling you the mystery of my understanding because you're my friend and my devotee. So it's a special intelligence, and you can't acquire it on your own or by hearing from an ordinary teacher, even though the teacher may be very intellectual. Like Prahlad Maharaj said to his father, Matir ni Krishna parataka svatova. You can't learn about Krishna from by yourself or in a group or in the school. So it has to be given by Krishna or Krishna's representative, which is another form of Krishna. So this is Buddhi Yoga, knowledge of Krishna and the relationship with Krishna. And Prabhupada puts it so clearly that first of all you should know what the goal is, the goal in life. The goal is Krishna. And then the goal is assigned. So that we all should know. What is the purpose of life? The purpose of life is to serve Krishna, to develop loving service to Krishna, eternal loving service. So whether I go back to Godhead or come back to this world, to always be serving Krishna and Krishna's devotees. All right, that's the goal. Now, proceed toward that goal. And Prabhupada says, when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed. So this is a recognition that it may not happen overnight. We say, ordinary talk, slow but sure. One time, I was typing and editing for Prabhupada, the Bhagavatam, when he was typing the tapes, and then he visited Boston, where I was. And so I went to his room one day, and I was working full-time at a job, and so I wasn't getting the editing done as quickly as I wanted to. So I told Prabhupada about that, that I'm not getting all the editing done as quickly. And he wasn't at all disturbed. And rather, he assured me, and he said, that's all right. He said, slow but sure. And then he said, just as you walk on the street, and you put one foot down, when you're sure it's not a hole there, and then you see there's another steady spot, another space. So this slow but steady is described here as progress, which will bring you to the ultimate goal. We have to be patient. We can't throw off all our anarthas right away, but we should always be making slow but steady progress. If you can be quick and steady, that's fine too. But here at least a concession is made, or the understanding is made by Prabhupada, that as he says, the path is slowly but progressively traversed, the ultimate goal is achieved. every day, always be making progress. And then this long journey towards perfection will be achieved. Okay. When a person knows the goal of life but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculations to understand Krishna, he's acting in jnana yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he's acting in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. So, the motive has to be pure. Anya bilasi ca sunyam jnana kamari anavitam. Anukulaina Krishna nisivaram bhakti yitinam. Not mixed. That something for Krishna, but tainted with desires for material rewards. And something for Krishna, but mental speculation at the same time. Maybe thinking that Krishna can be understood by other than pure devotional service. The path of jnana. Thinking the path of jnana is better than the path of bhakti. These are impurities. Or some impersonal idea of who Krishna is. So buddhi yoga is pure. Now, I'll read the next verse. And this addresses directly, the next purport, the next paragraph. This addresses directly the action of the verse of Krishna giving buddhi yoga to the constantly devoted, an intelligence by which they can come to him. And listen to this carefully. This is really eye-opener as to the meaning of this verse, as Prabhupada explains. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. A qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. Sometimes this verse is explained as being only for a very advanced devotee, that Krishna is giving him intelligence how to come back to Krishna, a devotee who is already in separation from Krishna, who's already in the mood of grudge, and so on. At any rate, who would Krishna give intelligence to directly except a very advanced devotee? But that's not what Prabhupada says here. Rather, he takes pains to repeat in this paragraph that if the devotee, Krishna is stepping in for the slow devotee who somehow he doesn't perhaps have the philosophical equipment or intelligence. Buddhi yoga is intelligence, so you have to be intelligent also. So the spiritual master gives instructions, and our instructions are philosophical. That you attend any Bhagavatam class, and though the speakers try to make it interesting with anecdotes and everything, it's not primarily entertainment. It's conveying philosophy. And so you have to have a taste for this and then we try to grasp it as we become purified. So it may be that somebody is sincere, but it's just hard to understand all these concepts. But it's necessary to understand them. Certainly it's necessary to understand what is matter, what is spirit, what is Krishna, what is the soul. In fact, earlier Prabhupada says one has to know all these details, not just, oh, I think I got it. We're all spirit, and so I'm the supreme. There's only one self, isn't that right, in the heart? So you have to know everything. You have to get it all down to proceed. And you make a big mistake. You think that you're God or something like that. Sometimes devotees, they're slow. That sometimes devotees, you find out after a year that they thought chanting one round means you go around this time and then you go back the other way, and that's one round. And then you tell them, no, you just chanted two rounds. And so they make big obvious mistakes. And we have to correct those mistakes and work in a standard way. So Krishna says that if your guru is instructing you but you cannot take advantage of it, and you're in a good spiritual movement, because we should be in a, like we are in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, gives us so much shelter and encouragement. But even with that, you still can't grasp it. Then who is going to help you? Krishna will personally help you. But what is your qualification? He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress, but is sincere and devoted, the Lord gives him a chance. Prabhupada would confirm this same point often in his letters and encouragement to devotees, even when they were neophytes. And we're always neophytes, even although we are neophytes. And I remember Prabhupada assuring me of this point in the first letter he ever wrote to me. And if I wanted to make an argument about it or gather evidence, I could find many letters where Prabhupada tells different devotees, yes, Krishna, you're a sincere devotee, Krishna's in your heart, he'll tell you how to do it. Whether it's how to paint Krishna, or how to distribute books, or how to convince somebody of something for Krishna's cause. Prabhupada would say like that. Krishna is in your heart, and because you're sincere, he'll teach you how to do it. So this letter to me is just one, but of course I remembered it. And it's just a line, but I know what was behind it. I was trying to understand the Bhagavad Gita, but in the way I was explaining here, I couldn't grasp it. I couldn't, even like in an academic way, if somebody gave me a test on different questions of Bhagavad Gita, I couldn't understand exactly what was being said. And I thought that in order to do it, you'd have to have some kind of spiritual intelligence. That much I grasped. But what it was, I didn't know. It seemed to be a very mystical thing that you'd have to have. And so how was I going to understand the Bhagavad Gita without that kind of esoteric, mystical comprehension? So I wrote to Prabhupada something about that. And he's writing back. I'll read it's a short letter, show you the context of all the practical devotional service that Prabhupada is giving and concerned with. Because that's part of the picture of how you'll understand Krishna. I understand that Neil has left and you have taken the responsibility for typing the records. Please let me know how many tapes are with you. I think you have 5 tapes with you because I have got only 3 with me. See that the tapes do not miss. You are a sincere devotee of the Lord, and certainly he will bless you with auspicious advancement in the matter of spiritual understanding. So that sentence that he writes there, it's not just a general blessing, it's in reply to what I wrote him about having problems. I said, how am I going to understand this Bhagavad Gita? And so he's answering that Krishna will bless you with auspicious understanding. So then I understood that, or I believe, that this is how I would understand Bhagavad Gita. Another example, even in the Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, to make this clear, of the so-called less intelligent devotee, would be the devotee at Rangakshetra, who was so ill-equipped that he couldn't read the Bhagavad Gita, Sanskrit. He didn't understand what he was reading. So, but his guru told him to read Bhagavad Gita every day. So he would sit in the temple and read. Prabhupada said he would go, trying to say the Sanskrit that he could mispronounce it. And people would go by and say, how are you doing, Brahmin, chanting Bhagavad Gita? And they'd make fun of him, as he was a fool. But Lord Chaitanya found him to be very sincere and questioned him because he could see bodily symptoms of ecstasy. And he found that the man had grasped the essence of Bhagavad Gita because he didn't know one chapter from another, but somehow he had the picture of the image before him of Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna. And Krishna is God, but he's so kind that he's doing this for Arjuna. When I think of this loving relationship between the Lord and Arjuna, I cry. And Lord Chaitanya said, your understanding of Bhagavad Gita is perfect. You are the real scholar. And he embraced him, and then he showed him some of his forms as the original personality God had told him not to tell anyone. So he was not intelligent enough, but he was very sincere. So Krishna personally came and helped him. Now, I've already explained what this may mean to us practically, that we should have a kind of assurance that we do have a link with Krishna. This doesn't mean that we rely less on the spiritual master or the scripture, but we should assume that that Krishna will help us and is helping us. It's not that we have to see Krishna like Narada did and then hear Krishna vibrating his voice, my dear Narada. But still, we're getting intelligence. Sarva Shichaham Riti Sannivisto Mataksmatri Ganamapurandam. We're trying to serve Krishna, so we're getting Buddha Yoga, how to serve Krishna. And that's coming from Krishna. So we should be thankful and feel it in a personal way. That Krishna is so kind. And the more we show Krishna that we want this intelligence from him and we act on it, we don't ignore it, then the more we'll get it. Provided we have this qualification. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and always be doing different kinds of services. This intelligence, another word for it, to in personal terms, is called Chaitya Guru. The Guru as God in your heart. And the Guru Tattva is taught in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the first chapter. And Krishnadas Kaviraj, he talks about instructing spiritual master and initiating spiritual master and then super soul. They're all considered spiritual masters. He said you should distinguish. He makes the point, don't think that the instructing and diksha gurus are less than the Lord, because that would be an obvious thing we might do and say, though they're just ordinary men. But similarly, don't think that the Lord is not an active guru either, or that's only for the very rare soul. I'll read just the verses. One should know the instructing spiritual master to be the personality of Krishna. Lord Krishna manifests himself as the super soul and as the greatest devotee of the Lord. Now that's to give prestige to your guru as being the same as Krishna. But then he quotes a verse from Bhagavatam. O my Lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science could not fully express their indebtedness to you, even if they were endowed with the prolonged lifetime of Brahma. For you appear in two features, externally as the Acharya and internally as the Supersoul, to deliver the embodied living being by directing him how to come to you. So this is such a nice verse, that the great devotees, or they call them poets and experts in spiritual science, they're grateful that Krishna is guru in and manifest without. And then he quotes this same verse. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. In his purport here, Prabhupada explains this person who gets Buddha Yoga more in terms of being a pure devotee. He says these pure devotees always merge the knowledge of Krishna and absorbed in Krishna consciousness, exchange thoughts and realizations as great scientists exchange their views and discuss the results of their research in scientific academies. That reminds us of 10.9 Bhagavad Gita. My devotees are always enlightening one another and discussing about me, Bodhiyam Tat Parasparam. So, and then another verse to show the balance. Since one cannot visually experience the presence of the Super Soul, he appears before us as a liberated devotee. Such a spiritual master is no one other than Krishna himself. And Prabhupada says, the preceptor appears before the external senses of the fortunate conditioned soul. At the same time, the devotee is guided from within by the Chaitanya Guru, Krishna, who is seated as the spiritual master within the heart of the living entity. So we study this in various ways. Sometimes we study and appreciate the instructing and initiating spiritual masters, and sometimes we are studying, as we are this morning, about the Lord in the heart. And I always find this amazing and wonderful paragraph here, where Prabhupada emphasizes that this help is for the slow student. I'm not going to read the next verse, although it is the fourth one in this chapter of Shlok, but I'll just kind of, I mean, I'll read the verse, but I won't read the purport. The verse 11 is very much linked to 10. In 10 he says that he's in the heart and he'll help you, and then in 11 he tells you, he gives an image of how he does it. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So it's the same point. And Prabhupada repeats in the purport, even if a devotee does not take advantage of the literatures of the learned scholars, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within his heart. So the sincere devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness cannot be without knowledge. The only qualification is that one carry out devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. Think of someone like Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who couldn't sign his name, but he knew all the Vedic truths. Think of the gopis. They never went to school, and just simple village girls, churned butter. And, they loved Krishna, which is the ultimate truth, and even the greatest teachers and persons like Uddhava, they admired and worshipped the gopis. But the gopis, they even knew tattva. They knew the conclusions. At different occasions, they say things that indicate that they know very well Vedic knowledge. And the same with the cowherd boys, although they just spent their time playing with Krishna. They knew everything. And one example is when the cowherd boys went to the Yajnik Brahmins and asked to beg for food for Krishna and Balaram. They showed their technical knowledge of what a fire yajna is and why it was, it wouldn't harm the operation of the yajna if at this moment the Brahmins could give them some of the food and so on. So how do these people get the knowledge if they didn't get it by the normal ways? But Krishna gives them the knowledge in the heart. All right. Just looking at this purport to 10.11, Prabhupada emphasizes only by pure devotional service, and then he specifies in his last paragraph, you should constantly chant Hare Krishna. And the ultimate goal, Vishnu, can be attained only by this chant and by devotional service. As the Lord takes charge, one becomes completely free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors. All right, I'll stop here. Is there any questions or comments?
How do you take examples from the government that have been taught within the profession? Would they have to be aware that that's not been possible in your country or how it differs and culture that's not a big deficit?
Well, you mentioned, you started out saying, how do we apply the example of persons like Gaurav Shredas Babaji, and how do they know that Krishna is directing them? We can't know the mind of the Vaishnava and how they talk with Krishna, how Krishna talks to them, and so on. That can be very specific and intimate, beyond our understanding. But the point of the purport, which I was underlining, was that there is certainly a line of connection between any devotee who is sincerely working and Krishna in his heart. So it's not to be faked or exaggerated, but neither is it to be denied. If you deny it, you're an atheist. God's not in the heart. God doesn't direct me. I don't believe any of that. I'm doing everything with my own intelligence. But we have to recognize that it's possible to do. It just takes humility, for example, that if I did something a little nice, somebody may compliment me, or I thought it came out kind of nice too. I know, I just have a real feeling and conviction that that Krishna helped me do that. I couldn't do it myself. It should be a steady understanding, and sometimes we get sharper insights into it. And you hear devotees say, not in the mood that I think you say Prabhupada condemned a born-again Christian, but I pointed out how Prabhupada regularly encouraged devotees to think that Krishna was directing them. So sometimes we see it in ourselves and we see it in others, or others express it, that I really felt Krishna helped me to do that. But even if they don't feel it, it's happening imperceptibly. That we're able to do it. If you, it's like I've seen you a number of times on television, very competently presenting the Krishna conscious philosophy. So how do you think you're able to do that? They ask you all kinds of questions, and you always come out and say something just right at the moment and in favor of Krishna. And Krishna's just giving you his inspirations, what to say, because you're just his man. And the more you put yourself in that position, that, you know, I'm just Krishna's man, I'm his representative, and then you'll feel that Krishna is he's giving you the cues how to act. And you depend on him, and the more we depend on our own, as we think of it, an illusion, the more we don't depend on Krishna, we'll have less sense that Krishna is directing us. You're kind of like, playing sort of a devil's advocate to what I presented. But certainly there is such a danger that one can think everything is just God talking to me in the heart. And that's the sum total of religious understanding. We don't need books. We don't need guru. God is the guru in your heart. And that is taught. People are misled like that. So we pointed out, or we read that these transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science are eternally indebted to you because you appear in two forms. So they recognize both. And very much, there's so much emphasis on following the instructions of the manifest guru who appears before your senses. You sit and you hear, talk to him. Not that you imagine he's talking to you. You actually, you talk to him or write him a letter and he replies, and he's Krishna's representative. It's not just trying to tune in to God in the heart. But then if he tells you that you go ahead and do it and Krishna will give you intelligence how to do it, then just depending on your faith in Guru, yastadeve parabhaktir yatadeve tathaguru, faith in Guru and Krishna. and then all it. Don't have faith only in Guru. Don't have faith only in Krishna and not Guru. Then you know all the truth. Not that the Guru is here to smash the notion that God is in your heart and that he's giving you intelligence. But he's making sure you don't get on a trip where you think things or imagine things. What else?
And you know, we've always had the experience of Krishna interacting with him, you know, within our heart, and we become devotees first because of some divine inspiration from the devotees and start to laugh at Krishna. We become devotees, you know, where that comes out and comes from Krishna within our heart to get that daily step. But as we are practicing Krishna consciousness, sometimes we may fall and go away, as the Christians say, the Lord gives us and the Lord takes us away. So something we're a little worried, you know, Krishna's given us this intelligence to become devotees, but it's also wanting some reciprocation in which we make some endeavor. But I suppose the two questions are, one is that we weren't performing devotional service constantly, that Krishna gave us intelligence, and we are doing something, but we can be a little worried that Krishna's probably going to give us the intelligence to do something.
That initial thing you explained, I was trying to think of the phrase for it. It's the phrase is that God gives you the Guru, or God sends you to the Guru, and then the Guru will give you God, to say like that. So yeah, it does seem like that, that Krishna sends us to the Guru when we're sincerely crying for help. The Lord in the heart directs us, go to the devotees, or go hear from the Guru, or have some faith in him. So many people could hear, but they don't. But God dictates to you, go ahead, have some faith, and then it gets solidified. So it may be that in the beginning we were crying out, and we have to be sure that we keep crying, not just think that now I'm in a mode of goodness and I'm satisfied, I don't have to cry out to Krishna. But now we should still be, we may have been, I mean, we're in different situations, but each of us must have been deeply dissatisfied and crying within ourselves that I wish I could see a better way. And so Krishna responded to that earnest desire. So one answer to your question is you have to continue that eagerness, even that desperation to find Krishna. We haven't found Krishna yet. Well, we haven't reached the goal yet. So we have to still be eager. And then Krishna will give us more blessing. So Krishna wants to do that. And he's just waiting for us to indicate more. There's the image of the two birds in the tree. And sometimes the Krishna bird seems rather passive, that he's just sitting and watching. The Prabhupada said he's just waiting for the other bird to turn to him. So you have to keep turning to him in our japa or in our activities. Krishna, please, I don't have position. I'm not safe. I'm not in the safety zone yet. I need more mercy. Please, give me service. But we shouldn't feel that we're not connected to Krishna as we were connected. Like you say, it was clear that there was some kind of action by Krishna that brought us here. So Krishna is the creator of our faith, but Krishna is even better known as the maintainer. We associate Krishna with maintenance, Lord Vishnu. So he's maintaining our bhakti. Why shouldn't we be aware of that? That we're in his good graces, as long as we practice bhakti. So it has to be always seeking it out as a new adventure, you know, always fresh, enthusiastic. So basically we have to continue chanting, hearing, reading. And then we're connected and we're in the flow of Krishna topics and awareness of Krishna. If you just become nominally a devotee, Prabhupada jokingly call it churchianity, meaning your religion is to go to church once a week. So if you just become a nominal Hare Krishna, then you won't feel that Krishna is in my life. Krishna is directing me, like I felt in the beginning. So I let Krishna steer me. He said, go to the devotees, go to the temple, give up all your illicit activities. And, okay, I'll do it. And you really were being directed by Krishna. You had strength. I remember, like you're saying, everyone remembers, I remember when I went to my parents, and like they were completely set against my being a devotee, and it was just like real easy. Although I was like, as a young man, I was very usually under their influence, but I had like a new potency, you know, because Krishna's behind me, and the Swami's behind me. So we should always feel like that. Because at that time, you were like taking your step, this is it, I'm going for, my life is, I'm going on Krishna's side, I don't care who's on the other side. Now it's not like I'm just, now I'm a nominal churchianity devotee, but I have to keep putting my stake in like that, for giving my prana, mat-chitta, mat-prana, give my intelligence, give my prana, my life, mat-chitta, mat-prana, bodhi-anta, preach, bodhi-anta, parasparam, talk about Krishna among devotees, and then you'll feel Trishanticha, Ramanticha. And if we don't, that can also be another spiritual side of things, that Krishna, I'm feeling that you're not in my life, so I'm feeling the whole world is void without you. I don't have Krishna. That may be true too. That was a nice early dose of mercy, but now I'm going deeper, and I see that it's a very deep thing to always be with Krishna, and it's not so easy. Krishna, without Krishna, I'm feeling empty, calling out to Krishna, and that mood is separation too. Any of the Matajis? Okay.
So then, I'm familiar with this question. It always has to be a fresh challenge, you know, that's how we keep it, you know, at the beginning, you know. How is it that you sometimes you read in the book, that it's like different words to say, you can sometimes read in the book, the purport of the tickets and the same thing you've been saying, etc., etc. How is it that you keep it fresh and you can not really, really excited or really excited by it all the time?
Well, it's a question of approaching it in a receptive way. Now, it's not... The first wave, or the first reading through, may have been just excitement at understanding it. Wow, there are three kinds of miseries. Oh, not only three, there's another four. And you write them down, what they are. Miseries from other living beings, miseries, and you're excited at the newness of the philosophy. So... You can't be quite, and if you go through it again like that, yeah, I know there's three, there's four. So, then, but that's not all there is. Now you have to start feeling, you have to thinking more about those miseries and how I'm not free of them, and being, start becoming more attracted to hearing Krishna and feeling that he's actually present in his instructions. So there's a different, you mentioned, there are many ways to feel fresh. You mentioned the challenge of reading or hearing, that's one. So the quality has to improve. Maybe don't try to read so fast or to finish books, but just to read them more carefully and receptively so that you're with Krishna and it doesn't seem repetitious. And then similarly with other services, you have to take advantage of the changes that we're going through. One devotee wrote me, and she's a pujari, and she says she knows the services that she does so well that she says, I know everything that I have to do is like the back of my hand. And the tendency is that now I just like go right through it mechanically, and I don't concentrate on it at all. But actually, that's an advantage if it can be used properly. Like in the beginning, it was like a struggle to know, and your mind was absorbed. Now which goes first? First they offer the incense. What goes after the incense? Oh yeah, I have to do it 7 times. And you're always absorbed. So now, I don't think any of that. Does that mean I have to be in Maya? But no, now I can concentrate on what it's actually about. Now I'm offering a flame to Krishna, and there's Radha and Krishna looking so nice. And you could even, if you're so expert, you can just do it and just be reciting prayers or making prayers. So we can take advantage of the evolution that we go through in life and devotional service. Whatever you have to work with that, which may be favorable or outwardly unfavorable. So the challenge is to always stay alive in your relationship with Krishna, whatever it may be. There's always a challenge. It's just different challenges. In the beginning, maybe it's a challenge whether you could give up your sinful activities or whether you could break with your parents and friends. And now those things are not even considered. Now there's new challenges. In the future, there'll be new challenges. So it's just always facing them and just overcoming them by devotion. And in the mood of these verses, hoping that Krishna will give you the intelligence and taking the intelligence that he's offering. The challenges and the struggles are sent by Krishna as another way that we can keep alert and engaged in his service. Until we go back to the spiritual world. And then we can just play with Krishna. And there's no worry about boredom or doubts or struggles and so on. But until then, we may always be in that mood of meeting the challenges and in a devotional service. And that's part of bhakti. And that becomes relishable also for the devotee. One should know that the goal is Krishna, and when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is achieved. One more, one. Well, in the beginning you seem to describe that like some hard truths, if that's true, that our upbringing is so bad that we're like seriously hampered in devotional service. We're certainly in a different position than someone who had a very nice upbringing in a devotional family. I was on a walk with Prabhupada once, and he stopped in front of a toy store and looked in it, and there was all guns and battleships in there. He was just looking at them, and I said, these are the toys that we play with. I said, are we affected by this still? And he said, the impressions are there. He didn't say no. So, whereas his impressions were Radha and Krishna going to the Radha Krishna temple and his father ringing the bell for the home deity worship. So, It sometimes seems like, you know, some devotees took drugs a little too much and their brains are, have gone or something. And people have different, you know, traumatic experiences from childhood. But we can't just brush it under the rug. But ultimately, you can't. But ultimately, we're not damaged because the soul is pure and is not affected by whatever happened. So, and the treatment is the same to chant Hare Krishna. So it becomes a kind of a like a moot point, or whether how much, whether how different we are from a person with good upbringing. And the Shastras say that, you know, even if you're a Chandala or whatever you are, Kirata, Hunandra, Purinda, Palkasha, you can become a great devotee. So at least Shastrically, we shouldn't think that we have to be always in a different category because we're Westerners and we're contaminated so much. We can get out of it. So what should our thoughts be? Our thoughts be should not to get back, not to go back to that with your prana. All those memories, except if you then except to regret them, like in the Ajamil section, he recalls his past and he regrets. And Prabhupada has a purport. He said, we should always remember what we were and feel sorry for it. So that can be the answer to your question, to the degree that it's true. That we can never escape all the contamination that we engage in, then always feel sorry for it and always feel low. And don't think, I'm a devotee, I'm a great devotee. Well, yeah, you're a great devotee, think of all the nonsense you did. Like Haridas Thakur, he never forgot. He never let anybody treat him as a great devotee. I'm not a great devotee. I was born as a Muslim, I did so many horrible things. I can't sit with Lord Chaitanya. So that can be the thoughts, that I'm very fallen. But only by his mercy he maintains a sinful person like me. That's a challenge too. That's a very that kind of turns around that problem that you presented and shows you how to work with that energy in a very humble way. And then what did you say? That's something else? Well, that was it. Oh, we're not always in nectar, floating in nectar and advancing. Yeah. So we're not motivated just by nectar, but by working and serving. And if we get some nectar, that's very nice. But we have to learn to develop the taste for being a worker and relishing serving Krishna. Certainly, we know that there are different ecstatic symptoms, the shivering of hair, standing on end, and tears. And it's not like the devotees are like, really after that, that's really what I'm waiting for. But so already, we're trying to serve not just for personal ecstasy, but that deeper satisfaction of pleasing Guru and Krishna and doing some service that's a contribution that's accepted to this cause of the Krishna conscious movement. And that's the real bliss of being able to do some work engaged in, what does he say? He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. Prabhupada liked to give the military images of, you know, on the battlefield, and so the chivalrous feeling of, not actually military, but in that spirit of fighting against the Anarthas, that's something that you don't have to wait till you're very, very advanced, but that we can have that. You know, I'm gonna try again today to control my mind. I'm not going to let lust get after me. I'm going to go out there and not be afraid, and so on. That's a readily available experience. And you don't have to be defeated. And also Krishna is with me. He'll give me the intelligence. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.